In Judges chapter 18, I just want to call your attention to this verse right here and spiritually apply it to us today. Then the five men departed and came to Laish and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the matter of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. And there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. Now, when people have a contagious disease, they're usually put in isolation. And that's what they did in the book of Leviticus and so forth. And isolation is not always a bad thing. But here in this verse, you're going to find out that isolation is a bit different here. And it's not always good. And the people here were careless. And what they were is they were far away from everyone. And they had no authority over them. And, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, that's the problem I see with Christians today. And there's a lot of things here I want to bring out to your attention. How does this apply to us tonight? Well, these characteristics can be found among Christians today. And there are quite a few that are in isolation like these people were. And I want to preach to you tonight a message on churches and Christians that are not making an impact. And I want to preach to you a message how tonight they are in isolation. They are in isolation. Would you go to the Lord in prayer with me? Lord, thank you for this new message. God, I did the best I could, and Lord, I'm leaving it up to you with the results. God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Would you wash me with your precious blood? Would you have mercy upon me? Pray, God, that I have complete liberty. Lord God, I pray that what is said and done will bring glory and honor to you and draw your people closer to you. And Lord, I bring forth fruit. And these people will not leave the same way they came in. May you get all the glory and honor for what's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number one, the first thing I want to bring your attention to is in verse 7, notice that word, how they dwelt careless. Number one, the people of this town were careless. You know what I've learned? Some of God's people are careless. And some of God's churches are careless. I've been in evangelism for a while now, and I've been in missions years in Africa and so forth. And I've been in over 200 churches right now. And I can tell you there's a careless attitude among God's people. Whether it's in the pew or whether it's in the pulpit, they're careless about some things. And I'm going to tell you tonight, they're careless one of the things about their dress. I'm not a legalist by saying this and all that, but as far as I remember, I can always tell the difference between a man's bathroom and a woman's bathroom by simply looking at the sign on the door, amen? And you got this generation right now that wants to make men look like women and women look like men, and Christians are coming to the church not dressed for worship, they're coming to the church like they're dressed for the Cape Cod Beach or something, amen? Why is there no standards for dress anymore? Like I said, I'm not a legalist, but it simply never ceases to amaze me how many little girls, I mean 15, 16, 17-year-old girls come in like they're prostitutes, like they're selling themselves. Hey, listen, I got news for you. I got a daughter. And I don't plan on letting my standards go when they're 15 or 16 years old to make peace in the home. Hey, there's going to be peace in the home with a rod on their bottom. They're not leaving my house with a bunch of guys drooling all over them and causing men in the house of God to sin with their eyes. Say, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, you should have been here last night. It was more encouraging, amen. But I went to a camp meeting for a day, just one day, and that was enough for me. I was invited. And I could not believe how many teenage girls were dressed in mods. I said, I understand. Look, if they're lost, I don't care one bit. Come on in, praise God, get saved, and put some clothes on. That's what a maniac there did after he met Jesus, right? But I mean, they came in with these short shorts right at the bottom of their buttock line. I got a boy that's going to be a teenager in 2 years. You know how teenage boys can be?
Yeah.
Right? Well, my kids are angels, fallen angels, amen? I mean, listen, they come in with these bra straps hanging out. Look, we don't need to see your panties. They're underwear, which means under what you wear. Keep them covered. Amen. But bra straps hanging. You got all these. Listen, cover it. If it ain't for sale, don't advertise it. Are you with me? God gave this to me. This is the word of God. I mean, you got form fitting shirts and all that. You got, man, hip huggers. You got guys wearing skinny jeans. I mean, come on, man. Getting their nails done. I saw a sign outside of a pedicure shop. It said that real men get pedicures. Guess what? I don't get pedicures, amen? my kids were shocked, and I as a preacher, I got to have some standards, amen. And I'm not trying to force my standards on you tonight, but listen, there was a time where even lost people that went to Catholic church, and I was raised a Catholic, the man would wear a white shirt with a tie, the woman would dress modest, the girls would dress in a dress. Now today, you come however you want, flip-flops, short shorts, whatever the case may be, there's no respect or fear of God. And I know, I'm telling you right now, my kids, and I got to teach my kids over and over, don't get a critical spirit. Don't get a critical spirit. But like I said, I can understand those teenage girls were lost, but you know what? They were in a King James, Bible-believing, premillennial, independent, Baptist home. They're the worst kind, I think, sometimes, amen? I mean, God's people are careless about who they associate with. Listen, I'm going to tell you the best way how you can live for God and never go back to the world. Separate from your old friends. Say, well, I don't believe in that. You got to do it. That's why some of you will wind up back on drugs or wind up whoring around and all that, smoking dope. I did all that stuff before I got saved. But I found out real quickly, when you open your mouth about Jesus Christ, you take a stand for him and you're not ashamed, you won't have them around anymore. I had a guy come up to me one time. He said, every time I see you, he said, you're just nothing but a walking Bible. Amen. Praise God. I used to bring beer, but now I was bringing my Bible to work. Hey, I'll tell you, rich Christians are careless about what they watch on TV. Really, I remember one time being in the preacher's home one time, and his church closed down a year later. I remember being there, he was watching movies with four-letter words cursing out, saying he's got liberty in Christ. Man, how in the world can you sit there as a preacher, watching God's name being taken in vain, sex scenes and all that, and say you ain't got liberty for an occasion to the flesh? Liberty to do right. That's right, freedom to do right. It's amazing how many Christians go to the movie theaters. Oh, yeah. I don't go. Why? That amen? Oh, I don't like that. That envelope of pins. Yeah, amen. That's right. Yeah, where's it? I can hear a pin drop. He's got, in case you don't know, he's got an envelope full of pins. And let the listen, I don't have to be amen and all that. You want amen? Fine. You don't owe me, whatever. But, man, how do you go to a movie theater? How can you give a gospel track out in there? You might get shot if you go.
Right. Amen, brother.
Amen. And there's no pun intended there, amen. I'm just saying, you don't know what'll happen. I mean, some Christians right now are careless with their children. You know what I'm sick and tired of seeing? King James Bible, even born again parents, right? They love the Lord, they say, and let their kids run around the church and climb under pews and jump on the pews and rip up the hymnals. What's wrong with you? Don't you care about your kids? No discipline. Man, I go to a restaurant, I don't have to worry about giving my kid a certain amount of NyQuil to put him in a, you know, come some kind of lucid state so he'll be calm. I don't have to worry about my kid throwing knives at the waitress like he's at some Barnum and Bailey circus. But you go to some places, man, they're always making, remarks and, you know, trying to cover up their kid's rebellion. No, they just need a good spanking. They don't need Ritalin, they need a rod. I mean, they're not teaching their children any more respect for elders. Look, your kid ought to look someone in the face. Your kid ought to be able to get up in a room when that room is full of people there and there ain't no seat for the elderly person and get up off their butt and offer that seat for them. That's how I was raised. I was raised by an old-fashioned Italian mama that, boy, she can reach out like Elastigirl and touch someone, amen? It didn't matter where I was at, she was whack. My mom's lost. But how come she got some more character than some saved, born-again women, amen? You're to teach your children respect. Coming in looking like Justin Dweeber, you know? Amen? Attitude, coming in. Baggy jeans and hands in their pocket. What's up with that? Spanking is a thing in the past among a lot of Christians today. There are Christians right now that will turn you in if you spank your child. I'll tell you, that ever happens to me, I'm going to spank them, amen? You say, preacher, man, a pastor ain't the, I ain't a pastor. I could be a brawler. I'm an evangelist, amen? But I can't believe how many parents justify their child's behavior, and they want their kids to turn out right, but it won't happen without hard work and prayer. Your kids won't turn out right if you fail to consistently apply the rod. You got kids coming to churches right now, no respect for the church house. You got youth texting during the service. One time I was at a church, I was preaching, these youth were cutting up and cracking up and all that. I called them right out in front of the church.
Amen.
So I can't believe he did that. Yep, preacher enjoyed it. You know what happened? All those youth came down and got right with God. So what's so important? You got to be cutting up and playing around. Stop preaching about the word of God. He said, I don't believe you do that. I would do it to my own kids. You got youth getting up and, just carrying on and coloring during church. Man, I never let my kids color during church. They sit there and pay attention to them. Listen, if you could sit them in front of a Disney movie for an hour and a half, they could sit in church for an hour and a half. You with me tonight? Still love me? Amen? Careless Christian parents are going to be found just about in every church anymore. You got to set an example as a parent. You got to spend time in the Word of God together and spank them often. They got to let you know. They got to know. You got to let them know the first time you mean business, not the fifth time. Christians today are careless about the Word of God. I watch Christians throw their Bible on the floor, throw it in the back of their car. I see people let their kids color in the Bible, draw in it, rip it up. Man, what's wrong with you? People have died for us to have the pure words of God in the King James Bible. So few Christians read it anymore and believe it anymore. There are preachers today across America correcting it. When you got a guy correcting his King James Bible, you better watch out. He's headed for a fall. Amen? Our church needs to get back to the old-fashioned King James Bible. This King James Bible is God's word. And we got preachers that are careless about the pulpit. I'm sick of these mealy-mouthed preachers that get up and they say, we need to repent of adultery. No, if you need to repent of adultery, preacher, you don't belong in the pulpit. You need to repent of it. You need to get right with God. It's always we, like we all the way home, you know? Amen? But sin's not being named anymore. We got men in pulpits today that are promoting seeker-friendly churches, you know? Starbucks kiosk in the back. Every 2 to 3 weeks, there's some new fad the church is going to come out with, and they're going to tell you to pick it up. And if you do this, you're guaranteed to grow your church in 6 months and $599 package deal and all. Whatever, man. Just stick with the old stuff, preachers. Amen? Preachers sending out questionnaires, and they're sending it to lost people to find out what people are looking for. What a disgrace. If you want to accommodate someone, I'll tell you who to accommodate, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? And get your church in a way where God will show up and God will visit. There are Christians right now that are careless about their speech. Listen, I'm all for being straightforward, but I don't believe in being a jerk either. Well, I just believe in speaking my mind. Well, keep your mind to yourself. You ain't got to let everybody know your opinion. As a matter of fact, nobody asked you for your opinion. Well, preacher, I think we ought to do this. Well, go start your own church then.
Amen.
Hey, gossip. Amen. Gossip, backbiting, tail-bearing is rampant. You could all do it on Facebook. They're careless about their prayer life. You see how few Christians come to the prayer meeting anymore? Look how neglected it is. It's sad. You'll get about 10 to 20% of your people coming on prayer meeting night. They're careless with their money. Spend, spend, spend. Youth are within 3 weeks of bankruptcy in America, young married couples, within 3 weeks. Got no money for the future. They're living with their mom and dad. They ain't working, man. They ain't doing nothing. They're getting an allowance. They're gaming at 35 years old.
Yeah.
Right? What a nerd. What a dork, man. You got to be doing that at 35 years old, getting allowance from mama. You don't even have to drive into town. Your mom's got to drive you. Say, so do you know people like that? Absolutely, but they're not here tonight. But they're careless about everything spiritual. And all they want to do is feed the carnal appetite. Hey, I'll tell you that we need revival.
Amen.
And a lot of people acknowledge that we need revival in our churches. But people want revival without caring to change. Listen, we got the truth tonight, right? Aren't you glad you're a Baptist? One guy said one time, what would you be if you weren't Baptist? He said, I'd be ashamed. Amen? We got the right Bible. We got the right doctrine. Don't we? Y'all with me tonight? Don't we? I mean, we're not seeing revival, though. Listen, I'm glad Pastor Piet had me in. But you know what? I think sometimes revival meetings are just a plain waste of time. Really, I do. I come in, I preach my heart out. People go, oh, that's good. Give me an offering. Give me a good enough offering so I can leave. Amen. Amen. I'm just joking now. Relax. Amen. Well, why people pray for revival if they don't plan on changing their ways? They don't care less. People can care less about changing their ways. I mean, we got people shouting in the church. We got people holding up their hands during the praise service and all that. We got people running the aisles and all that. It's big down south, the North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm not knocking that and all that. But you know what they do? They leave the church house the same. While they're running the aisles, they're in there, they're smoking outside the church. What in the world? Down in the church in Florida. You say, what happened? There was people outside smoking with the lost visitors. You say, what did you do? I got up and preached about it. You say, what happened? They invited me back next year. Amen. I don't care one bit. You got people out there smoking with lost visitors, man. What kind of disgrace? They can care less. That's the problem. We cannot expect the Holy Spirit of God to come down and visit us if we grieve Him every day and resist Him every day. How can you expect God to show up if you're a jerk to your wife, or you're rebellious to your husband, or you ain't raising your kids to love God, or you're talking about the past? You expect God to show up in the revival meeting? I got news for you. He'll never show up. How often have you quenched the Spirit of God in your life in church? How often has God dealt with you about coming to the altar? You know I'm not big on altar calls, but there's times where God has spoke to you before the message was even concluded. You wouldn't get up. You were embarrassed of what people thought about you. You don't care what God thinks about you. Number two, not only were they careless, you know what else they were? They were quiet and secure. What does that mean? They were comfortable. They were comfortable. Oh, they were comfortable and carnal. Christians today are really ignorant of who God really is. You know what I like about the old Puritan preachers? I know they're Calvinists, and I'm not Calvinist. Bear with me for a minute. They knew God. Yeah. And those guys would write like a 100-page book just on one topic of God, just the holiness of God, J.C. Riley or Horatius Bonar or whatever. And you read, you're like, wow. This one guy wrote a commentary I'm reading right now. It's over 800 pages on the book of Colossians. God, He must have the preeminence. So few Christians know who God really is. And the closer you get to God, I'll tell you, the less carnal you will be. You won't be saying, well, should I dress this way? You'll say, no, I already know God doesn't want me to dress. You won't say, well, should I watch this? Or you'll say, no, I already. If you're that close to God, it's not a list of rules and regulations that make you spiritual. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You'll say, you know what? I can't do that. Okay, give you an example. You men, how many of you are married? All right, you know, after a while, you don't even have to talk to your wife. Now, don't do that all the time. You get in trouble, amen. Don't take a miscreant. You know what happened? You look at her, you already know. Right? That ain't working, right? You know what? You get close to God, you already know. All right, God, I won't even go there. The closer you get to God, the less comfortable you'll be about living for yourself. Say, preacher, I don't do this and I don't do that. That's the problem. You don't do anything. Christian bookstores now, you know what I'm tired of? They're filled with all these self-help books. What about getting back to the Bible? What about learning about what God says? You know, it's not about a better you. You know what I mean? You know who that is? Hey, what about studying? I practice preacher, amen. What about studying the Bible on a regular basis? So you know what God's will is for your life, so you can glorify Him in your life. It is, we must decrease, He must increase. I don't need to learn more about self. I got a problem with myself. I need to learn more about God. The problem with our church today is self-centeredness. Why do we have church splits? Self-centeredness. Why do we have divorces? Self-centeredness. Right? Well, it's all about self. Why don't we get God-centered? Christ is to have the preeminence in the church. And church today and Christians today are not giving Christ the preeminence because they got the preeminence. Hey, look at me. I'm the church. Look who I am. If I leave, the church will die. No, it'll grow. See you later. Oh, I don't understand why so-and-so left. Praise God they left. I remember in South Africa, I went to two church splits. I already been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. And you know what? I remember one time this person left and God, I could go out after him and go out after him. God goes, what I put out, don't drag back. Amen. I remember people leaving and the offerings would go up and visitors would start coming back. I'm like, wow. Wish they would have left earlier. Say, you ain't a pastor. I know. That's probably why I'm not pastoring. Amen. But Christians are carnal today and they're comfortable because they have a lack of the knowledge of God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, he says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. You need to get back to what Paul told us to do, that I may know him. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about you. The reason why you make the decisions you make is because you want to make them, irregardless of what God's word says. Well, I feel led to marry this person. They're a Mormon. They're a JW. They're not even on the same page, but I feel led. A lady one time told my wife and I, we led her to the Lord in South Africa, and she says, the Lord gave me scripture on marrying this man. My wife said, he's lost. He said, yeah, but he gave me scripture. What thou doest, do thou quickly. She was serious. Now, you all laughing. Thank God I'm among Bible believers. Amen. That's Judas. She was, and my wife told her that. She goes, well, and she left and left and did whatever she wanted to do. What a mess, huh? You know what you need to do tonight? Know God. Love God. Walk with God. And if you want the power of God on your life, you're going to have to let some things go. Separation from the world will only take place. Separation from the world must take place for you to have the power of God. And as long as there remains an ignorance of God and his attributes, carnality will run rampant in our churches. You know what we don't have anymore is a fear of God. You know what Jonathan Edwards did? He preached with the power of God. People were grabbing the pew and crying out, thinking they were going to drop off into hell. I understand it happened during the Great Awakenings in New England and all that. But he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his spirit still speaks to all the seven churches. Even Laodicea. But he's waiting for one man to open the door. Are you with me tonight? Is it true? That's why I believe there's so many Christians out there living like the world. And I believe this tonight, that some of them are plain lost. Some people don't agree with me. I still believe in repentance. It's still Bible. I don't care who puts it out and who's writing against it. It's the King James Bible. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I knew that when I got saved, I couldn't be living with the woman I was living with that I met at a discotheque 6 weeks previous. I knew that I couldn't smoke dope no more. And I knew that when I got saved, there was going to have to be some things that had to change. What we got right now, we got easy believism thanks to Jack Hiles. This 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, has made a mess of our churches today. And I believe that some of these people causing problems in our church may not be sheep, they may be goats. Because as far as I remember, I've never seen a National Geographic show or something like that at all where sheep were chasing the shepherd. Wolves. Wolves bite the shepherd, not sheep. Say, preacher, I don't agree with you. Well, I'm just having a little ad-libbing here. I'm just, you know? But I believe that's probably one of the biggest reasons why our youth are turning out and going to the world. Let me tell you something tonight, parents. You got to deal thoroughly with your kids. You know them better than anybody else. And don't expect your children to be born again in your house because you raise them in a Christian home and you read the Bible to them. I check with my kids often. You say you create paranoia. No, I just don't want them growing up into it. I want them to grow after they believe it. Big difference. You get to turn off the TV and talk to them about their soul. And you know what you got to do? You got to deal with all people thoroughly whom you come across. I'm not talking about retreading, relax. And I'm not talking about talking people out of their salvation. Did you believe when you believed that you really believed? None of that crap, okay? But I'm talking about regeneration. I'm talking about being saved and knowing you're saved. Typical answer. How many of you ever go door knocking? Anybody go door knocking here before? Ever pass out a gospel? Ever ask somebody this? Watch. Are you saved? Yes. One time I prayed with someone. Ever hear that? All right. You ask them this. Do you know you're going to heaven when you die? You know what they say? Over 90% of the time? I hope so. I don't hope. I got the blessed hope. Amen. I ain't got no key. I got the door. I ain't got to worry about it. Why are people worried? Because they ain't being dealt with thoroughly. Our soul winning has degraded to just, one time I was in a church, I'll never forget, And I was there and I was preaching and I gave an altar call and I said, if anybody's lost here tonight, would you raise your hand, at least acknowledge it? I said, we'll deal with the after the service. Because you really, to me, you really, and to each his own, but it's really hard to deal with somebody thoroughly for 2 minutes in an altar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I try to encourage people, hey, if you're lost, let's talk after the service. I can deal with you a little bit. Wife and I, we dealt with this teenage girl, and she goes, well, she goes, I don't know if I'm saved and all that. And just then and there, this young married couple comes over and goes, we already dealt with her. She's already saved. She already prayed with us. I said, look, whoa. I said, all I know is she raised her hand. I didn't know. Now, they weren't related and all that. They were just friends. And I said, let me ask you something. In front of them, I did this. Was there ever a time you realized you deserved to go to hell? You know what she said? Never. You are not saved. You know why I got saved? I didn't want to go to hell.
That's right.
So what happened is I said, and I asked them right in front of them. Because they called me out in front of other people. I'm going to put them on. You call me out? All right, let's deal with the issue in front of everybody then. Okay, let's deal with it, right? Maybe that's a Philadelphia Italian thing. I don't know, you know. Let's deal with it. And I said, did you pray with them? Because you just want to please them, or did you really mean it? She goes, I just want to please them. There you go. I wasn't playing retreader and all that. Like, you got to know that you know, amen? I mean, do you think that was true salvation for that young lady? And then what happens with this kind of person is a shallow soul winner dealing with this person will always try to emphasize eternal security. I'm for eternal security. You're looking, well, where's this guy going? Just bear with me. It can be a hypothetical situation. Soul winner. Did you ask Jesus into your heart? Sinner. Yes. Soul winner. Did you think you were sincere? Sinner. Yes. Soul winner. Do you think he saved you? Do you think? Sinner. I don't know. Soul winner. Of course he saved you. You were sincere. It's just the devil trying to mess you up. Now you need to get baptized. Let me tell you something. When I got saved, you didn't have to drag me to church. When I got saved, you didn't have to drag me to get baptized or read my Bible. I'm not saying I haven't stumbled, fallen, backslidden since I've been saved. Amen? But there should be a desire in you. If any man be in Christ, not some man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I know I'm preaching old-fashioned all that, but our Baptist preachers, Pastor Piet, are getting away from true salvation, and it's easy believism, I'm telling you. And they got a congregation full of goats, and they always got problems, and they're not seeing fruit, and they're getting frustrated. And the light's starting to come on for some of them, and they're going, you know what? I need to start dealing with people very thoroughly. John Bunyan said 90% law, 10% grace. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Not the Romans road. It's not our job to give assurance of salvation to anyone. It's the Holy Ghost's job to give assurance. Because the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You got to show them what sin is from the Word of God. Tell them there's a hell. Give them a chance to answer for themselves. There's a soul-winning clinic in Texas. And I watched this, and my wife's awesome. Quiet, man. She's really, I'm like the high strung. She's like, well, that's okay. And we're watching this video, the soul winning clinic, and this guy's saying, he said, when you deal with people, he said, ask them if they're a sinner. He says, then immediately ask them if they want to go to heaven. And he goes, never give them a chance to answer for themselves. That's what he said. My wife says, turn it off. She said, that's blasphemy. That's heresy. I said, yeah, Lan, you're right, amen. You know what I figured out in dealing with people? I like to give them a chance to ask the question, what do I got to do to be saved? When someone says to me, well, what do I got to do now? When they do that, that's Bible. They don't have to answer that very thing. Don't get me wrong, like, you know. But when they say, look, what do I got to do? Then I know they're ready. I've dealt with people and I said, look, are you ready? They're like, no. But they said, you know what? They said, I know I'm lost. And I know I'm going to hell, and I need to think about this. Hey, that's good enough, because somebody else can water. It's God that gives the increase. Right? And too many Christians are taking place of the Holy Ghost of God, and they're forcing people to make false professions. It's for us to witness, but the Holy Ghost's job to convict. And shallow evangelism is bringing forth shallow results. Did you know, listen, over 50% of Americans, according to a poll, believe they're Christians.
Do you believe that to be true? With over 49 million abortions? We got people dropping out of church left and right. Maybe they're not converted. I didn't say they're all lost. You say, well, preacher, how can you say such a thing? Let me ask you a question. I want you all to think about this. I know some of you are mad at me tonight. Let me think, how in the world did I get here tonight? Let me just tell you this. I want you to think. Why do you stick? I know what you're going to tell me. It's the grace of God. I know that. I'm not making light of that. But why do you stick? What has kept you from quitting? I'll tell you what's kept you from quitting. I already know the answer. The fear of God. Right. You're afraid. Fear is a good motivator to help Noah build an ark, by the way. You know, some of you, that you know too much. If you turn your back on God, God's going to whack you upside your head. Amen. The Bible talks about this. I was thinking about this, and maybe you can show me I'm wrong after, but when people who claim to be saved and have no fear of God, something's wrong. Now listen to me very carefully. The Bible talks about who not fearing God? Anybody know? The lost. You show me one reference in the Bible, New Testament, where the saved people do not fear God. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to challenge you. So I'm going to find an answer. Well, go ahead. Show me. I mean, I'm not trying to prove to you I got some revelation from God and it's only me. But I don't see that anywhere in the Word of God in the New Testament. Paul's epistles? Or, no, this is fear. They don't fear. There's no fear of God before whose eyes? The lost. The whole context is the lost in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 20. Maybe our church is filling up with more goats and sheep. Let me ask you, is there any evidence of salvation in your life? Not the life of your wife or husband. I'm talking about your own life. You got to examine yourself. You got to prove your own self. Where is the fruit? And there's a lot of carnality going on in our church today as well. And I'm going to tell you why. There's no church discipline. Man, I'm telling you, man, I can't believe it. One time I was at a church, I'll never forget this, and they haven't invited me back and whatever the case may be, but I had no idea. Honestly, some of you think the pastor told you everything. Nope, he didn't. But I remember one time being at a church, and I got up and preached on bitterness, about not forgiving others and so forth, the fruit of it and so forth. And there was a lady that was coming that was pregnant. And I thought the man that she was with was her husband. But no, sorry, it wasn't her husband, it was her boyfriend. He was married still. Literally, she was married still. They're both divorcing their spouse so they can get married together, and it's his child. And the pastor knows, and she's a Baptist member of the church, by the way. Knows this. Not lost visitors, you know, having great. I'm not talking about that. A member. And I got up and preached on bitterness. Guess what happened? The guy got bitter at me because he's bitter at his wife and left the church. You know what the pastor did? He said, you got to go. And his wife told my wife. My wife said, would you rather have sin in your church? And his wife said this, we would rather have sin in the church than have people leave. King James, independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. Dispensational, too. Old nine yards. Say what happened. Well, preacher, we can't practice church discipline because we believe in loving people in. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you more loving than Jesus? Matthew chapter 18, he gave the order. What a mess. No wonder why our churches have become ineffective for the cause of Christ. No wonder why our churches are spiritually in isolation and have no effect on the lives of those around them. And number three, and I'm just about done. Notice the last part of this, and this is a big problem that I see in among a lot of Bible believers. The middle of verse 7, and there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. Number three, the people in this town had no one in charge. No one in charge. No one in charge. No magistrate, no shame. You know, Christians today hate authority. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have a local church I'm out of. I'm not one of these fly-by-night evangelists that give no accountability. I believe in accountability. And there are people out there that just hate authority. And when I'm at a church, whatever Pastor Cross asks me to do, I do. Okay? Whatever Pastor P.S. says, hey, brother, we're going to be here. I just do it. You say, why? I'm not trying to patronize these guys and flatter them and all that. But I'm under their authority. I'm here. I do what they, right? Is there a problem? So I was in the military. I got saved in the military. So authority and chain of command doesn't bother me. It didn't matter if the guy was a scumbag in the military. He was in a position of authority, obedience, right? Correct?
But you know what I found? They think a pastor is a pope. Now, I met some popes. Oh, I met some Baptist popes, really. The hat and all that and the cane and all that, some churches. But you know what? Some of you get that later on. The pastor does have authority over you. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you." Hebrews 13:17, "Obey them that have the rule over you." Says it again, Hebrews 13:24, "Salute all them that have the rule over you." You know, there used to be a respect in a lost world for God's men. There'd be lost people would come and they would take off their hat in church and sit, even lost, and go to revival meetings. Now the world laughs at God's men today. And the Christians have also jumped on the bandwagon as well when it comes to disrespecting the preacher. I'm not talking about falling down and kissing Pastor Piet's ring and all that and so forth like that. But I found this to be true. The parents that disrespect the preacher, the youth follow the footsteps. My kids, thank God, honestly, by the grace of God, they love preachers. They do. And they say, "Hey, we're going back to that pastor's place. We like him. We like it." It's a blessing. Amen? But I say, look, man, when they preach, as long as it lines up with the book, you respect them. They're worth double honor. And I can tell you right now, you have no respect for the preacher parent, and guess what? Your home's a mess. Amen. No fear of God, no fear of man, God's man's position. I mean, Elijah. Whew, fire come down and burn up all those people that want to mess with the preacher. I don't know about you. I haven't always agreed with every preacher I preach for. Some of them I just couldn't stand, didn't like me, I like them. But I didn't run around the country bad-mouthing them and spread a manure about them. Can't stand that. Preachers are worse with gossip than people in the pew sometimes. But people love the church hop. How long do you got to go to your church? You got to go, are you trying to be the longest visitor ever? Break the record? How long? I'm going to be here 2 years before I join. Look, you should know after 3 months. But do you know why people don't join churches anymore? No accountability. You don't want accountability because you don't be accountable to your pastor. You don't want your pastor calling you. And good preaching from a good pastor, you know what he'll do? He'll shame you for your sinful living. Your pastor has the authority from God to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. So I don't like that. That's life. Take it up with God. Take it up with Paul when you meet him. Now, when you remove yourself from under God-given authority like your pastor, then you'll never be ashamed of how you're living. I guarantee you, you leave your church under Pastor Rizzuti's authority, and as long as he's in line with the Word of God, you leave it, you watch those people's lives fall apart. Watch. They're always right with God. Pastor Piet, right? People leave your church, oh, bless God, Pastor Piet, we're right with God. Five years down the road, divorced, kids are in jail, knocked up or locked up. Right, preacher? Pastor Croft? Oh, they're always right with God. Oh, yeah, sure. And they start a church about an hour away from me, you know? And they can't build any converts of their own. They're sheep stealers. Oh, well, come to our house and we'll talk to you a little bit. We'll tell you the other side. They'll tell you the dark side. That's what they'll tell you. You'll not be ashamed of how you're living. As a matter of fact, you'll start to justify your sin when you get out from good, hard preaching. Christians can just come and go as they please without being members of a church. And it's simply amazing how few church members take any counsel or advice or concern from their pastor with a good attitude. Pastor walks up to you and says, "Look, I don't think your son's saved." How dare you talk about my son like that? How dare you talk? Hey, is your wife saved? How dare you talk? And they gather all these people together to try to oust the preacher. Your pastor has a right to question you. They would rather rally a group together to get the pastor kicked out, you know? Churches today have become vacant for years. You know how many churches in New England without a pastor over 70 in Maine? You ever wonder why? They don't want a pastor. Because I know guys that are looking to pastor.
I remember years ago, I told you before, I thought, man, surely, man, I call up churches and try to get in there, and they would say, we don't have a pastor. And I thought, that dirty hireling, how can he leave his flock? And after a few years, I realized some churches don't deserve a pastor. I mean, man, after a while, have you been, that church has had four pastors in 10 years, maybe something's wrong with them. So what's the end result of these people? Well, look at verse 27. I'm just about done. And they took the things which Micah had made and the priests which he had and came unto Laish unto a people that were quiet and secure, and they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. They were destroyed. And in verse 28, there was no deliverer. You know, they had no business with any man. Now, I know the context is idolatry. Please don't rightly divide everything out of the Bible. Amen. But they had no business with any man. So God shut them down. And I believe that God is shutting down some churches because they're no longer making an impact. If you don't evangelize, you will fossilize. Bottom line. So I'm going to ask you, what impact are you making as a Christian? What impact are you making as a church in your community? All heads bowed, all eyes closed. This is the invitation.